That's a song we used to sing rather frequently in years gone by. We certainly need to lift the Savior up so all men can see him. We can lift him up by living as a Christian ought. We can exalt him by the way we conduct ourselves as his disciples, as his followers. He did affirm, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." And in a very special and meaningful way, everyone who is a child of God, everyone who is a disciple of Christ, everyone who is a New Testament Christian can contribute to lifting up Jesus, our Lord and our Master. It's good to be back this evening, good to see those of you who have returned, that we might continue and conclude our worship service this evening. I call your attention to Isaiah chapter 40, a passage with which many of you are familiar, verses 28 through 31. But before we look at the passage more closely, I do want to encourage all of us to be mindful of the family of Sister Jean Turman, whose little grandson drowned. I believe that was yesterday. He was 3 years old, drowned in the swimming pool. And he slipped out of the house, if my information is accurate. And certainly, their hearts are heavy at this time with bereavement. And they need us to reach out to them. They need us to keep them in our prayers as well as in our cares. And we want to communicate to them that our hearts go out to them. They have to be experiencing some traumatizing emotional pain, having sustained such a loss. It again emphasizes and italicizes the fragility of life and the uncertainty of life. Life is fraught with many dangers. So please remember the family of Sister Jean Turman. Isaiah 40, verses 28 through 31. We're going to talk about the virtue of waiting, those who wait on the Lord. Rosemary McKnight has authored a book entitled Those Who Wait. And I think she does a masterful job in writing this particular book and in laying out her case for waiting. For one, I am not real good at waiting. I'm trying to develop more patience. I'm trying to learn how to deal with waiting. And I think I have made some progress. I have a ways to go, Brother Solomon Stevens, but I have grown some on my patience, my patience quotient. I'm better now. If I got caught up in traffic back in the past, years ago, and if I was running a bit behind for an appointment or for work, and something beyond my ability to control occurred, and it locked me down in traffic, I used to fret and maybe fuss a little bit because I didn't take kindly to having to wait I didn't want to wait, but I have learned that it's better to wait. There are some things that we have no control over. And sometimes you'll find yourself right in the middle of traffic. You can't make an exit and go around the congestion. You can't change your route immediately. You're just locked down, and you have to wait whether you want to or not. And there's no need of fuming. There's no need of banging on your horn. There's no need of getting frustrated and discombobulated. You have to learn to deal with it. Now, one of the things I have learned to do in order to facilitate and make more pleasant the waiting process, I have learned to pray. I have also learned to review scriptures in my mind. I have learned to quote scriptures. I have learned to quote meaningful poems that I have memorized down through the years. And that makes the waiting more bearable. One thing we need to always be consciously cognizant of is there are some things in life that we have no control over. So there's no need to be worried or frustrated about those things. There are other things in life that we do have control over, and we shouldn't worry about them. The things you have control over, just demonstrate control over them. The things you don't have control over, ask God to help you be patient. And sometimes various circumstances in which we find ourselves encased in life are beyond our control. I just don't like waiting, but I've learned to cope with waiting. You know, we have to wait at the airport. We have to wait at the doctor's office. We have to wait at the dentist's office. We have to wait in line at Walmart and Kroger. We have to get in the checkout lane. We have to wait at the barber shop. We have to wait, ladies, at the beauty shop. When we go out to eat, we have to wait. Sometimes we have to wait to get into the restaurant. We have to wait to be seated. We have to wait for a server. We have to wait to place our order. We have to wait for our food. We have to wait for the check. We have to wait for the receipt or the change. We are called upon to wait all of the time. Waiting is an inevitable part of life, and we may as well learn to deal with it. The Bible has a great deal to say about waiting, not only in this familiar passage, but in other passages as well. Let us consider the passage Isaiah 40, verses 28 through 31. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. There's a certain indefatigability or tirelessness that God demonstrates. God never runs out of energy. God never grows weary. God never grows tired. He operates in an indefatigable fashion. And I'm glad that God has an endless supply of energy. He don't faint. He does not grow weary. You know, we talked about Gideon and the 300 men who were with him in our lesson this morning. They were faint. They were weary. They lacked vigor. They were tired. They were worn out. But yet they were pursuing the enemy. And they were striving to achieve their objective. Although the men of Succoth refused to help renew their strength, refused to help provide them with refreshing and nourishing food, they continued on, and it was the Lord who renewed their strength. And God has the power of understanding, so he knows exactly what we are going through. He knows when our fuel hand is almost on the E. He understands that our resources can be depleted, but he's always there for us, and he always knows how to renew our strength. He knows how to reinvigorate us. Verse 29 says, he giveth power to the faint. Those that are about to collapse, those who are weary, those who have just about run out of fuel, he giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. God is a wonderful God who provides for us. It's interesting to observe that God never suffers setbacks. We suffer setbacks, but he doesn't suffer setbacks as the sovereign God of the universe. He has things under control. God experiences no surprises. You don't hear him utter the words, uh-oh. Now, nothing slips up on God. Nothing surprises God. He never suffers setbacks, and he will help those who do, but he will help those who do. You see, God can take our setbacks and use our setbacks for comebacks. He has that kind of power. He can use our setbacks for setups. I meant to say, little Gary, for comebacks. And he does it. He does it all the time because of his incomprehensible wisdom. When we consider the scope of his wisdom and the depth of his wisdom and knowledge and his judgments, he knows exactly how to provide for us. All we have to do is entrust ourselves into his care. I call attention to Romans 11, verses 33 through 36. This is one of my favorite passages in describing the awesome greatness and the incomprehensible level of knowledge and understanding and judgment of the great God of the universe. Romans 11, verses 33 through 36. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. It boggles my mind. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Or who hath been his counselor? Or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? And then focus your attention on verse number 36. For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Even youths, they experience a failure of strength youth at their very best, their human strength inevitably fails. Only the promise of God can sustain human perseverance. Wait for the Lord, savoring God's promise by faith until the time of fulfillment. Renew as you depend upon God. Find endless supplies of fresh strength that comes from the Lord. Even the youth, verse 30, shall faint and be weary. The young men shall utterly fail or shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall. It's not questionable. It's not simply possible. It's not simply desirable. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Wait on the Lord. Psalm 27 and verse 14, the psalmist admonishes and encourages, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Amen. Psalm 33 and verse number 20. Our soul waiteth for the Lord, for he is our help and shield. Amen. Psalm 37, verse number 7. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Don't worry about evildoers. Fret not thyself because of them, but rather confidently put your faith, your trust in God, and wait on him. Finally, I call your attention to Psalm 40 in verse number 1. The psalmist explains, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. Amen. Indeed, he is always there for us. Amen. Let's not try to rush ahead of God. Let's not make the mistake that Abraham and his wife Sarah made. I know they had to wait many years for that promised child who would be named Isaac, meaning laughter. They tried to get ahead of God rather than wait. Earlier, Abraham tried to get ahead of God rather than wait. He had no instructions to leave the land of Canaan and to sojourn down in Egypt because of the famine. He grew impatient. He did not depend upon God, but he should have waited on the Lord. And you see, while he was down in Egypt, he was given Hagar, a servant, and she became a problem for Abraham and Sarah. And we are still witnessing the troubles and trials precipitated by that unlawful coming together of Abraham and Hagar. If they had simply waited, you If Aunt Sarah had not encouraged Abraham to go into Hagar, the concubine, so that she could have an heir for Abraham, they wouldn't have been in that unlawful mess and situation, and the world would be in better shape today. So let us not try to get ahead of God. Let us strive to do what we ought to do following the directions of God. Let us always endeavor to put the full weight of our trust upon Him and make sure that we wait upon the Lord, and He'll take care of us. Waiting, as we close, produces patience. Waiting produces provisions. Waiting improves our perspective. Waiting increases our power. And waiting results in protection for us, provided by the great God of glory. The lesson is yours. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Don't try to run ahead of God. Simply be patient, doing every day what you ought to do, committed to living each and every day for Him. If you are here this evening, I want to encourage you to not just altogether dismiss.